And as always, a true privilege to be gathered together as the people of God and to proclaim the perfect death of our Lord until He comes again. I want you to get this picture in your mind as Luke, the physician, is recording the very words of our dear Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Luke writes the words of Jesus, and they were the words that He had spoken before He ascended back to be with the Father, to that glory that He had with the Father before the world ever was. And Jesus said to His 12, it had to be a very intimate, personal moment. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." It was on the 50th day after the Passover that the Spirit of God with power came upon the people of God. Specifically, that came upon the 12 with power. Now, when you go back and you carefully read Acts chapter 1 and the rest of the chapter, remember the setting here. Now, the disciples are returning from the Mount of Olives to where Jesus had just spoken to them and ascended back to be with the Father. And He told them specifically to go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for this moment when I will send the Spirit back to you. And so they're waiting in Jerusalem. And if you'll notice verse 14 of chapter 1, He says that they were devoting themselves to prayer. They were praying. That's what they were doing when they were waiting for the Spirit. But I don't want you to miss that Luke records also that the women were there. That it wasn't just the apostles, the chosen men of God, the women of God were there as well. And He mentions the mother of Jesus. They're all a part of this. This is a family. They're all together at this moment. And remember, Peter speaks of what Judas had done and how he betrayed Jesus. So there's only 11 now, and they have to choose another apostle, right? And so the lot falls to Matthias, and he becomes the 12th apostle in the place of Judas. It's the day of Pentecost. Now, to our minds, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But to the Jew, to the Israelite, to the serious Israelite, it was very important, as it meant 50th. The word Pentecost just means 50th. And it was that festival, also known as the first fruit, that started at the beginning of what was called the wheat harvest, 50 days after the Passover, Leviticus chapter 23. Oh, you can read starting in about verse 4 through 16. Now think about what would have been on the mind of a practicing Israelite. A serious Israelite would have had all those things from the time of their slavery in Egypt until God, with a powerful hand, delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh. And they wander in the wilderness and have trying times for 40 years until God brings them out into the promised land. All these things must have been on their minds, as they remember also back to the Passover when God had passed over those homes and lives that had the blood in their life. All of this was on their minds on the day of Pentecost when the apostles were there and the Spirit came upon them. 50 days after the Passover, when our Lord died and was crucified and raised again as our Passover lamb. These things were in their minds as they had to recall back when John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," right? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away," what? "The sin of the world," the sacrificial Lamb of God. The Passover Lamb. The one who represented all of the Passovers that had gone by. The Spirit of God came upon the apostles with power at this moment. And the church, get this, the church burst forth, came forth like a raging fire, remember? And spread, began to spread throughout that world. Now we find our place in Acts chapter 2 because this is where it begins to take place and unfold. As the church is born, as the people of God began to grow and begin to spread in that known world, on the day of Pentecost, we're going to read verses 1 through verse 12. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, remember, they're in Jerusalem now. That's where they were. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing among themselves. And they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterances. Verse 5. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes." Proselytes were just converts to Judaism. "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They're full of sweet wine," or we would say they were just accusing them of being drunks. I want you to try as best you can to put this moment in your mind. What an experience they were having. At that moment, on the day of Pentecost, they were praying, and then the men and women are there, and then all of a sudden the Spirit comes. And Luke records that this experience, as he calls it, is like a noise. It's a noise. That's what Luke says. It came to them as a noise. He calls it a violent rushing wind. Then he'll said there were tongues of fire. And then each one was hearing them, the apostles, speak in their own language or tongue. That's what's happening. This is the experience. This is that moment. A violent rushing wind. We've been around some severe winds in our life before. You know, as I was reading through this, it did bring back my mind to 2008. I would say the only violent rushing wind that I have ever experienced in my life, when we had the tornado that I remember being here in the basement, and the eeriness of that moment when everything was black and then turned completely silent for a moment, and then there was this rushing wind that was violent. It was a violent rushing wind. Now, they're not experiencing a violent rushing wind. They're experiencing a noise that is like a violent rushing wind. Now, when you stop to think about wind and fire and different things like this, they're things that God uses, or the divine uses as an influence to make things happen, to communicate, to judge, whatever it is. God uses these kind of things like wind and fire. So there was a violent, or like a violent rushing wind, and then there were tongues of fire that rested on them. Not fire, but they were as of fire. Remember, God spoke to Moses communicated through the burning bush way back. God would communicate at times this way. John the Baptist had come proclaiming when Jesus came on the scene, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as the people are listening to John the Baptist, he said, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I have to believe that was on the mind of the apostles as this was unfolding. He is going to baptize you in the future with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it's happening right before their very eyes. They were each one, it says in the text, verse 6 and 8, hearing them speak in their own language. And then somebody says, why, in question, are all these not Galileans? What's that question for? What's the big deal about a Galilean? Well, we know Galileans from history. We know they were not an educated people. We know that they did not spend all their lives learning all these various tongues that now they were capable of communicating. They weren't an educated people. And it's believed that perhaps some of these languages the apostles may have never heard up until that moment. How would God be communicated? The gospel, good news of Jesus, be communicated without this moment, without this capability? You see, I believe, church, that this was far more than just a natural moment. This was a supernatural moment. This was a miraculous moment in which, in a moment, in an instant, God gave them the ability to communicate his word and truth to that world from that moment. And Isaiah, he would prophesy that during the time of the Messiah, it would be like this. For he would say in Isaiah 28 and verse 11, indeed, he will speak to his people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue, foreign language. And that's what's happening. You know, as I was studying church through this week, it made me think more about the Great Commission. And it actually opened my eyes more to the Great Commission. And what was actually happening when Jesus gave this commission first specifically to the apostles. Now we know that it was going to continue on from there, but it was given to the apostles. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Matthew 28, 18 and following. But for the sake of this point, Mark records it this way. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? All creation. How in the world is that going to happen? There's only 12. It's going to start in Jerusalem and is starting right here on the day of Pentecost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, not just your own people, all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. This is how the good news of our Lord Jesus and his hope spread throughout the whole world. That's how it began. Remember that the whole world was not one language. That ended because of sin, right? All the way back in Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel, where confusion took place. It's hard enough to communicate in our own tongue, isn't it? Imagine trying to communicate in other tongues. And that's what they were doing. Because God gave them the ability, miraculously, to do these things. Arabia. Greece. Syria, Persia, Africa, Rome. They're not all one tongue. This was done because God gave them the supernatural ability to do this. Now, if you want to get into an interesting study about tongues, you can go back, write this down, and read 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, and chapter 13. Also specifically chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. We know the church, the apostles gave though some people in the church that ability to speak in tongues. But I believe it ended after those people were given that ability. I can't tell you the date and the moment. but I don't see anybody speaking tongues anymore. And by the way, Paul will say, these things will be done away with. And he includes knowledge. Now, knowledge is not done away with. You've got knowledge today of Jesus. Why isn't that done away with? Well, I think he's talking about the miraculous knowledge and miraculous ability to speak in tongues and those other miraculous gifts that were given. He said, these things will be done away with. What is it that they were speaking as they were speaking in tongues? You see, I think the tongues was amazing. But I don't think it was the tongues that was really that impressive as much as it was the truth of the tongue that was spoken. Somebody could have miraculously spoke a tongue, and that would have been amazing. But to speak the things they spoke of in verse 11, and this is where I think we get our main focus of the text and our application from the text. Because they say, Luke records, Cretans and Arabs and others, as he said prior to that. He says, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. I wonder what Peter spoke at that moment. Exactly what he said. Now we have some of it recorded and we'll get to it at another time. But the mighty deeds of God, what are these mighty deeds of God that they were speaking of? You know, we are all gathered here today as the people of God. Those of you who have received the word of God, of Jesus and his love and his truth and his mercy and hope that he extends to anybody that receives that word and is baptized into him. And as we see later on in Acts chapter 2, they were added by God to the kingdom, to the church, to his people. And all of us who have done that, we're gathered here today. Why are we gathered here today? I submit to all of us here today that we are or ought to be here because of the mighty deeds of God, right? Are you here because of the mighty deeds of God? That's why you should be here. Because of the good things of God, the wonderful things of God. We're gathered here today because of God, the great things God has done in the world, for the world, in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, the mighty deeds of God. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. What we have because of Jesus. We think every week of God sending Jesus. And we try as we commune around the table to think of God slaying his Son. Slaying. He was a lamb. He was slayed. But then somehow we find it in ourselves to thank God because he raised him. He raised him for us. And he received him back. And he has communicated to us in his word that he is going to send him back again to us to bring us to where they are. That in some appointed time, God is coming back. Yeah, he's dealt with all evil and sin at the cross in Jesus. But redemption isn't completed yet. We don't have our new bodies yet. But the day's coming. It's all about the mighty deeds of God. You know, Barnes said of this occasion, the gift of miracles is withdrawn. The apostles, by that miracle, simply were empowered to speak other languages. That power must still be had if the gospel is to be preached. But it is now to be obtained not by miracle, but by slow and careful study and toil. You see, here's where our application, I believe, we draw from this text. And that is that our lives, church, are to speak of the mighty deeds of God. Everything we are about is to be about the mighty deeds of God. I would like to say you and I are to speak in tongues. Oh, not, don't hear me say miraculous tongues, but we're to speak in tongues, our own tongue. Through learning of the good news of Jesus and the transformation of our life, we go out into the world and our lives are speaking or supposed to speak of the mighty deeds of God. And others are to see that. And they are to hear that. Through two ways, and I like how Barnes put it. If there's any argument for studying the Bible, if we even need to argue it, not for the sake of growing our brains and seeing who knows more, but for letting the world know of the mighty deeds of God and how we communicate it. And how are you going to communicate it if you don't know it? And how are you going to know it if you don't put it in your mind and heart? Through the slow and careful study of it over time, and then also through the purposeful, thought-out service. Our purposeful, thought-out service. Serving God every day of our life. You know, you and I stand here today claiming to be Christians, and what we are claiming are to be Christ's. Christian means little Christ's. It means I'm to be a little bit of Christ. Oh, I'm not the full Christ. Remember, many me, we're many Christs. I'm little Christ. You're little Christ to this world. Somebody has said you might be the only Jesus somebody ever sees, hears, or knows. What are they seeing? What are they hearing about Jesus? And so we are to speak of the mighty deeds of God. Let's make it count. Let's spend our time in God's Word, the slow, careful study of it, and purposeful, thought-out service, serving Him. Make our lives count for Jesus. I want us to pause for just a minute, and I want us to pray. And I want you to think for a moment about your relationship with God and where you are this morning. I want you to think about the mighty deeds of God and what God has done for you and what He wants you to do for Him. And so, Father, we come to You this morning again, another day. We are a family. We know a lot of people going through so many things this morning, and there's things to rejoice about. There's things we're concerned about. There's things we're sad about. We're a family. We're Your family. Father, we come together under one common bond and purpose, and that is Your Son, Jesus, the One who came and the One who gave His life, the One who showered mercy and grace, the One that showered this world with Your knowledge and Your light, telling the world to turn back to You. It is our prayer that You give us a greater understanding and urgency for the kingdom. Father, for me to be less about myself and more about You. Father, we're all concerned for our nation. We're all concerned for our president. We're concerned for our leaders everywhere. They all need You. Our state needs You. Our community needs You, and we need You. And we pray this day, Holy Father, that if it is Your will, that You will be patient. You have been patient beyond patient with me. And let us be patient with one another. Let us be patient as we go out, as we try to help the world understand who you are. Tell them of the mighty deeds of you and your Son. Father, as only you can, turn our eyes to you. We know this is war, we feel it. Help us to be wise and understand the battle that we face in our homes, in this community, in the church, in our nation, in this world. And Father, just give us the courage to fight. Father, we know that's not fighting with guns, but it is fighting for the gospel, the cause of the gospel. Father, we love you, and we ask that you just lead us in this fight today. Remind us of your love today, and help us to reflect it as we go about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the lesson. We're going to stand. Let's go ahead and do that at this time, and we're going to sing the invitation song that Cliff has selected for us. If you need to receive the Word of God this morning to be added to the church and part of the kingdom, we want you to do that. We want to pray for you if you need prayers. If you're down and out and you're struggling, we want to help you. This is a moment in which we allow you to come forward and let that be known, whatever your needs are. As we stand sing, let's sing the invitation song. Would you come?
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.